Pharmacist Podcast. I am your host, Adam Balio. Americans spend over $30 billion on complementary and alternative medicine each year. As healthcare professionals, we need to know the facts. Let's find evidence-based medicine together. This podcast is not designed to be used for medical or legal advice. Thank you. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining me today. Today, we're going to be talking about applied kinesiology. This was a little difficult to do, I have to say. This is a modality that I use personally, but as you'll see, I was unable to find a lot of clinical evidence that supports it. So you might be familiar with the term kinesiology as the study of how the body moves. Applied kinesiology is a diagnostic practice of testing a patient's ability to hold a limb still against pressure applied by the practitioner. It's used to detect physical, nutritional, or emotional deficits. It's most frequently used among chiropractors, but it can also be used by other practitioners as well. It's often used in a way, as a way of asking questions to the body about imbalances that the patient may not be consciously aware of. I go to a chiropractor who uses muscle testing to evaluate his patients, and that is the applied kinesiology. I trust this chiropractor and his methods. I feel like his diagnostic ability is accurate. However, I haven't seen him use his muscle testing to evaluate nutrition or emotional status. He's only using it to detect physical weakness in the body, particularly around the spine. So I do have some vested interest in this. Unfortunately, a lot of the evidence is conflicting. There are studies that seem to demonstrate that applied kinesiology is effective. However, these trials are actually quite poor in design. Some studies show that consistency between different practitioners or even the same practitioner over time can vary greatly. There are even studies that show that some practitioners are as accurate as random choice. Some studies indicate high diagnostic ability and consistency, but two issues stand out to me as confounding factors. First of all, this is a diagnostic tool, not an intervention. So the practitioner has to manipulate the patient in a very specific way to come to a conclusion about the patient's health. Because of the personal nature of the practice, it seems to me like it would be difficult to create a strong scientific test for this. For example, how would you blind the patient or the practitioner? Because they're physically touching you and they're using this as a diagnosis, can we even create a placebo for that? Is it possible to have a double-blind placebo-controlled trial for applied kinesiology? Also, because this modality involves the physical ability of the practitioner, it's likely a wide variety of ability, methods, and uses. If you listen to my previous podcast on acupuncture, where I said, you know, there are as many kinds of acupuncture as there are acupuncturists, I can see applied kinesiology being very similar, where it really depends on the skill and ability of the practitioner to be able to test for this properly. So by testing one or even a small group of practitioners, how do you know that you've tested people who truly represent the practice? How rigorous is their training? You know, there's a lot of things that can really complicate this issue, and I think that's why we have some of the results that we do. So one trial that I found seemed to be, on the surface, pretty well designed. It was a trial that to demonstrate the efficacy of a specific kind of applied kinesiology called professional kinesiology practice, and they were using this on nonspecific lower back pain. The study had three arms. It was the applied kinesiology, a sham applied kinesiology, and a waiting group. So all the patients were blinded. Of course, the patients in the waiting group did not receive any intervention. One interesting thing is that one of the exclusion criteria for this trial was previous exposure to applied kinesiology. The results of the trial indicated that pain worsened in the group who received no treatment, but improved in both applied kinesiology and sham applied kinesiology. Also, the improvements were greatest in the true applied kinesiology compared to the sham treatment. This seems to demonstrate that this method is safe and effective compared to no treatment or sham treatment. But there were some problems with the trial. First of all, the researcher was the exclusive practitioner performing the diagnosis and interventions. That may have introduced bias into the study. It's Also, impossible to blind the practitioner, so his bias is going to be put in. Even though he may be performing a sham procedure, he's still going to know that that's what he's doing, and that could be reflected into the patient. The initial calculations for power determined that they would need 144 participants for a reasonable margin of error, but they only managed to enroll 55 patients. So we really have to seriously question the results, because they didn't even have necessary power to detect error. And that was really the strongest trial that I found for this, at least at this point. So because the evidence is pretty weak, I can't endorse applied kinesiology. So for those healthcare practitioners who are listening, I wouldn't advise a patient to seek out an applied kinesiology practitioner. However, if a patient were to bring it up that they wanted to pursue that as a method, recommend that they not abandon their current prescribed therapy. But if they wish to add to their current therapy and they don't feel like the cost would be a burden, I would certainly encourage them to try. Some patients do seem to benefit from this method, but this is only anecdotally. This is kind of a buyer beware modality. I wouldn't bother trying to find practitioners in your area, but if a patient asks you to help him find one, you can always direct them to the International College of Applied Kinesiology. Their website is www.ickusa.com. So that's all I have for applied kinesiology for today. Thanks again for listening. I will link my blog on this topic, as well as the trial that I referred to, in the show notes. If you'd like to reach out to me, either with suggestions, comments, concerns, or questions, you can reach me at integratedpharmacist@gmail.com. I'd be excited to hear from any of you. And thanks again for listening. Look out for next week's episode on the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the Integrated Pharmacist Podcast. If you like what you heard, please give us a good rating, subscribe, and tell your friends. Thank you.